You may be seated. Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Still speaking God, as these words from Scripture are read, may it be to us as if the heavens are opening and we see your Spirit descending on us like a dove, revealing your love for us as your daughters and sons. Amen. Our first lesson from Isaiah, hear these words. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And join me, if you would, in our psalm lesson today. It is responsive, and please note there are parts for different for men and for women, as well as for the choir. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. And from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. A word about the text. If you read Acts, you will notice that some form of this sermon that Peter preaches here, it repeats over and over and over again in the book of Acts. So this the essence of this sermon, Luke provides for us on a number of occasions as he recounts the journey of the apostles through the new world, through the world of that time, as they preach this sermon repeatedly. So a word about this text today. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message that he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not only not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And from the Gospel of Matthew, this, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness," or as the Message translates it, and the title of the sermon today, God's work right now. Then he consented, that is, John the baptizer consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as Jesus, he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. We Presbyterians celebrate two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Last Sunday we celebrated both. What a wonderful day. I was glad to have served a church when I arrived at that congregation that observed and celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on every Sunday, at least at one of the services. Sometimes the sacrament is called the Eucharist, which comes from the Greek word for thanksgiving, and sometimes they are used interchangeably, sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, communion. So every Sunday, at least at one service, celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper became increasingly meaningful to me. Providentially, one of the good things, I guess, that I stepped into in the church that I was serving, it allowed me to gain a colleague and co-worker who would not have actually accepted the invitation to be employed by that congregation, because for him, the weekly celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was vital to his Christian faith and important to his ministry. And so when he learned that we celebrated the sacrament every Sunday at least one of the services, it opened the door for him and for me to have a colleague who I continue to value in my life. Celebrating the sacrament every Sunday helped me to appreciate more fully those branches of the faith that do so Sunday by Sunday every week, and also to see it as an integral part of their worship experience. I think especially because I grew up in a church where the celebration of the sacrament was less frequent, quarterly, only quarterly, maybe on Maundy Thursday, but not at other times. And it did not feel, in those years when I was growing up, very much like the joyous feast of the people of God. It carried a more somber quality, and I remember my father as he served communion in that congregation, even to this day. Not that it shouldn't have a somber quality, because it is remembering the death of Jesus Christ, but it also ought to be a celebration of the joyous feast, of the good news of the gospel. So in many churches, Presbyterians, there has been a move to a more frequent celebration, which you have also done here. It really came in the revision to the Book of Common Worship in the mid-80s. And as Joe Small from the Office of Theology reminded us at the Theologian in Residence some years ago, that Presbyterians proclaim to be a church of word and sacrament, but we've done a lot better with words than we have with sacrament. And I think that's really true. The other sacrament that is less visible in the church is baptism. I appreciate the fact that here we use the font, although this morning, once again, I forgot to pour the water into the font, and I could go over and do that now. I will not, but it has to be a common practice, and so not every Sunday we have done that, and so sometimes I confess to forget that. But we use the font here at 10:30, and in many ways, I think it helps us reminding us of our own baptism. There are ways that we can have practices in the church that help us remember our baptism. In some traditions, today would be an opportunity to do that. In Greenville, we began a Easter vigil, a wonderful service, not a short service, about an hour and a half. It was a long service. But in that service, which begins in darkness, in the middle of that service, there is a remembrance of our baptism, a celebration of that. And we invite people to come to the font, and in the waters of baptism, we make the sign of the cross on the forehead so that people would remember. And the words are, remember your baptism and be thankful. Today, I want to remind us and call to mind for you the gift of baptism in the life of the church, a very powerful image for us. It's an interesting Sunday to do so for a variety of reasons. Partly because the baptism of Jesus was not like ours in the same way we think of baptism, because we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. John the baptizer, as he gathered at the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance, was inviting folks actually to a ritual process that was central to the practice of faith in the day and time of Jesus, and in some measure even in Judaism today. It stood in the purity tradition of the church of Judaism in that day. So if you were for some reason unclean, you had touched a leper, or for other reasons you found yourself unclean, there was a ritual of purification that involved bathing so that you would no longer be unclean and you would be able to present yourself at the temple. And so this was evidence, by the way, for those of you who were at the Theologian in Residence when Travis Williams talked to us about the Dead Sea Scrolls. It was evident by the baths in that monastic community where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Those baths were there as part of that ritual of purity. So Jesus arrives at the Jordan where John is baptizing, cleansing for repentance and the forgiveness of sin. And in fact, Matthew is the only gospel writer who records this dialogue between Jesus and John. As Jesus arrives, John looks at him and says, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me for baptism." And Jesus replies, "This is God's work right now," or "Let it be so," but maybe it even is better translated, "Permit it now." John has a duty to baptize Jesus, even as Jesus has a duty to do what is right and righteous. So Jesus says, "Permit it," to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus is doing what is right. He is asking John to do the same as an act of discipleship for John and his faithful service to the God he serves, and for Jesus as the right and righteous thing to do. But there's more here also. Because once Jesus steps up out of the water, and by the way, that phrase that is used there is more literally the meaning of that phrase, that he actually steps up out of the water onto the bank of the river, not out of the water as in immersion, but out of the water as in stepping out of the river onto dry land. As he does that, Matthew tells us that he, that is Jesus, saw the Spirit descending like a dove, alighting on him. And then there is a voice from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, my delight, the delight of my life." That's the literal translation of that phrase, which is wonderful, I think. By the way, that phrase appears, "This is my Son," appears again, actually, when Jesus is on the mountaintop with the disciples and with Elijah and Moses in the Transfiguration. Except in that occasion, there is the admonition to the disciples, "Listen to him." That phrase, "a voice out of heaven," is meant at least for John, but also, I think for Matthew, all of those who were there that day, but also all of us who read this text, because it affirms Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus proclaims in his willingness to be baptized that he is one of us, that he, like us, as a man, as a faithful man, in the service of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, is willing to go to the Jordan to be baptized by John as an act of righteousness. And in doing so, he offers a pattern for us of faith and witness, affirming for us as God's creation and as God's creation as human beings that in baptism we die and rise with Christ and we are washed and made new and whole in the life of Jesus Christ. For baptism for us is a sign and seal of the covenant of God's grace in our life. It is a call and claim to new life, and it is an acknowledgement that God claims us as well as our children as people of faith and as God's disciples. It is the good news. The place and importance of baptism in the life of the church speaks to us the good news of the gospel, of the work of Jesus Christ in our life, of our dying to Christ and rising with him in new life, that we might, in what we do and what we say, proclaim the new life of God in Jesus Christ for our sake and for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God.